Coming up on today's show...
The best use case, in my opinion, right now with a ChatGPT is, like, use it as a collaborative entity. Like, you know, collaborate with it. Let it be a songwriter in the room.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Little Rock, Arkansas, my guests are an award-winning independent music duo who have toured internationally in over 7 countries. They perform over 200 shows per year, captivating audiences with their piano, fiddle, and guitar performances. They have a repertoire of over 2,000 songs spanning multiple genres, and just under 2 years ago, they opened for ZZ Top for an amphitheater show. Last October, they released a 12-song album that made it to number 39 on the Apple U.S. Country Album chart. They also have co-founded a production company, an entertainer's academy, and a music and arts festival. You've been hearing a song of theirs called Neon Dreams. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Cliff and Susan.
Hey, thank you for having us. It's very good to be here.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure, my pleasure. It's nice to quote-unquote meet you both. As evidenced by all that I just read off in the intro, we've certainly got a lot to cover today. Let's start off by having the two of you share all about the song of yours that was just playing called Neon Dreams, especially since I was talking over it and the audience couldn't hear the lyrics clearly. And by the way, I should mention that that song has more than 63,000 streams on Spotify, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, that song came about, actually, a friend of mine just had a thought, and he said, hey, you should write a song called Neon Dreams. And so I was like, all right, well, I'll see what I can do. And we started writing with a fellow artist, Bree Ogden, and we
it's about the living for the weekend and playing in dive bars and just having a good time, jumping off into the weekend, throwing a party every week.
Wow. But Cliff, I wonder, someone came to you and said, hey, you should write a song, I had this idea, Neon Dreams. Does that happen a lot? Why did you entertain it this time? Because are there times when people suggest a song idea to you and you smile and nod and walk away and we're not doing that?
You know, it does happen, but this one was a good friend of mine who I write with quite a bit, and so he just gave me that idea. I thought it was a pretty good idea, and I actually wrote the chorus out of a dream. I woke up and I wrote down the chorus, and I was like, hey, Susan, what do you think of this? And she was like, yeah, that sounds good. So we continued writing the song, and it somehow worked out.
Wow. Was that something that, and I want to clarify this because you did say who you wrote it with, but that was the same person or no that had the idea and brought it to you?
So different person. So my good friend Bobby Cockerham, which there's a couple songs on that album of ours that has him as a co-writer on it, but he just gave me the idea, but he wasn't the one that we co-wrote it with.
So then for the audience who are beginner songwriters, does he still get a credit on that anyways, just for giving you the idea?
No, and you know, it's a tricky question, and you know, if you were in a Nashville songwriting session and someone came up with that title and that's what spawned that song to happen, there would be a little bit of an argument to be made that maybe they should be a writer credit, but we've known each other for years, and he was like, just that you wrote the song is all I need.
He was just like, go write it. I don't want it. He said, go write that. I don't want any part of it. Just go write that song. And then so it kind of happened out of that. But we co-wrote that one with Bree Ogden, so that is a three-artist song, right?
Sure. Well, go ahead and share with us all about Fiddle and Keys, your 12-song album that came out last October that Neon Dreams is on, and it bears repeating, wow, it made it to number 39 on the Apple U.S. Country Album chart. Congratulations again, and give us all the details on that project.
Sure. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, it's been so awesome to have our own music be so well received and the momentum that we have after we waited basically 7 years since Cliff and I met in 2016 playing music, and we got married a year later. But we had been writing and performing together immediately, and we wanted to find our sound as a duo, a country duo. Of course, we play all kinds of music in our cover shows and what keeps us busy. But our music really wanted it to feel authentic and let things really evolve and find our stride with our own music. And so we had been writing the entire time. So then last year we decided, I think we've got enough for an album, and it felt right. So we didn't really have the October 2023 date set prior to actually a couple of months prior to that. And we thought, well, I think we can do it. So we put all the songs that we felt were album worthy. And when we released it, we just couldn't believe it. We've built quite a bit of a fan base of people who come to our shows and know and love us in our shows and our performances live. But when we released the music and we were able to chart, that was just like so awesome and rewarding.
They were definitely a catalyst to that success.
So the songs are a compilation of, you know, high energy songs that will translate well for our high energy interactive crowd, or, you know, crowd interactive shows that we do. So you're going to hear, like, Fiddle and Keys is a very performance-heavy, fun tune to perform live. But then there's going to be, like, the ballads and everything in between. So it's just a good representative of, like, a depth of catalog that represents us as where we are in our career currently.
So I wonder, though, although it finished at 12 songs, and you said, Susan, that we felt like we finally had enough and it was time, were there 15? Were there 18? Were there 20? Were there some that just fell by the wayside and these were the 12 you picked? Or is it, no, we got to 12 and said, this is enough, let's record?
We had more that we had recorded, and we have over 30 right now that are in the docket to look at, to either have half been, you know, halfway recorded or need to be finished on the song, right, but feel, you know, good, like they would be good for us and our
and
artistry.
We're still writing. We wrote a new one yesterday.
Yeah,
the
so
day before.
It's constant for us. But now, to answer your question specifically, we probably had about 5 or 6 that could have made the album that we decided that we would either wait or just didn't necessarily need it. We wanted this to be really strong when we released this. I mean, I think your first album is like your first impression, right, to the world, and we wanted it to be representative, to make sense when you listen to it, and when people listen to it from front to back, that it all has some cohesion and takes you on a musical journey. And from a branding standpoint, it really just hit and checked all the boxes for us. So we think we did a pretty good job, but we've got lots more songs ready to go.
Yeah, I love that you just said that about from a branding standpoint, because audience, Cliff and Susan and I are just meeting each other for the first time, and yet I already feel, granted, from the preparation I did for today, but I feel like titling the album Fiddle and Keys is so appropriate because, as I mentioned in the intro, piano, fiddle, and guitar performances. And so I think that branding, you hit the nail on the head, Susan.
Well, thank you. I love marketing. I'm such a marketing geek, and I love everything from the creative to the analytics when it comes to marketing. And so when we wrote that song, we were in Santa Barbara years ago, and I said, we need a song that tells our story, that allows us both to rock out on our signature instruments, which is what you see. Mm. And I'm playing with my foot on the keys, and Cliff's rocking that Charlie Daniels fiddle solo. And so we wrote, that was the whole genesis and the beginning of Fiddle and Keys that turned into what has now actually got us on national TV. It's really, we've got a lot of mileage out of that song. And then, of course, it felt right for it to be the title track.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was it even a discussion? It just seemed to me as though it was probably very natural for the two of you to look at each other and say, yeah, easy, this is the title track of the album.
Yeah, it really was. It was pretty easy to make that decision. And I like she said, the branding, everybody knows us for my fiddle and her keys, with the exception of her flowing beautiful hair and my beard. So I guess we could have called it hair and beard. I don't know.
But what we haven't mentioned, I don't know if I made this known, but if anyone listens to the song Fiddle and Keys, you will hear our story. So lyrically, it's a vocal duet. And the first verse is me telling about what I'm doing before I met Cliff. And then the second verse is him telling about what he did before he met me. And the third verse says, you be Johnny, I'll be June, Sonny and Cher. You play the fiddle and keys whole back and forth, but we're coming together and taking on the world, you know. So the song lyrically is also on brand because it tells our story, which is kind of cool.
And Susan, you could not have set me up any better because, audience, I hope you heard it. She said it in passing, but I wanted to make sure that in case the audience was wondering, as Susan already attested, the two of them are married. And even though there will certainly be folks coming to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment because they are fans, they are followers of Cliff and Susan. For my audience, for those just being introduced to you for the first time, just tell us that story. How did the two of you meet, and what is it like working together and being married? Because I think, and I could be wrong on this, but I think they say don't go into business with family.
Well, luckily we weren't related when we got married.
But you know what he means.
Yeah,
by
no,
that.
I know what you mean. So we met actually on stage at Willie D's in 2016. Willie D's is a dueling piano club in Little Rock, Arkansas, where we live. And I was living in North Little Rock at the time, and I was a pharmacy tech, and I would play on the weekends at different joints, and Willie D's was one of them. So I happened to be playing the same weekend that she was there, and she was still doing her thing, traveling abroad.
And whenever we met on stage, I had a show at a casino about an hour away called Oaklawn Casino in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I was doing my own thing, and I asked him to go ahead and join me. So we did start working together immediately. Love happened. A year later, we had eloped in Vegas, but we worked together immediately. And to answer your question about the personalities or doing business with family or friendship and business, for us, that's a common question. And I just always say it takes a yin and yang personality and teamwork and two personalities that really work together and not against each other. Like, I feel like we compliment each other, even on stage, you know, we compliment and lift each other up. So I think it's a puzzle piece that we fit together that probably doesn't always happen. And so, yeah, we're together 24/7. And I miss him when I go to the store and run errands. I mean, it's kind of weird, but we're constantly together and it just works for us. So we're really blessed in that regard.
Yeah, and needless to say, if you have a problem with a bandmate, you should work it out, but you can go home and complain to your spouse, your significant other, or whoever. But in this case, when your bandmate is your spouse, you got to work that out both as husband and wife and as bandmates so that it doesn't affect the marriage or the band.
Right. I mean, to be honest, of course, we've had moments where we might have had a spat or somebody was in a bad mood or we didn't agree on something. But I will tell you that music is the best medicine. And if we hit that stage, it all goes away and we're there to have fun. And immediately all problems are gone. Mm. And so that really is the solution for us is like just, you know, leave it off stage. You head on stage and you're good to go.
That's why I only start arguments right before we go on stage.
Well, you know, funny enough, Cliff, I was just going to say what an advantage that the two of you have as husband and wife that way, because other husbands and wives, they're going to say, what are we going to do with this? Are we going to keep fighting? Are we going to go our separate ways? Is one of us leaving the house to cool off? And the two of you do have the stage to quote unquote escape to in a way that you go, this is where we're going to find our peace and our happiness, and this is going to be resolved and over and done with very quickly and easily.
It's like an immediate therapy session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody's looking at you. You don't want to bring that to the stage. That's just tacky.
Yeah. Nicely said. Nicely said. Incidentally, for those of you in the audience who are coming to this show for the first time, hi, thank you, welcome, and I hope you'll listen to other episodes of Now Hear This Entertainment. In fact, I'm going to put a link on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net, to an interview I did with Shane and Emily, a married duo who perform under the name Arbor Season, so you can listen to that conversation and their take on being a husband and wife performing duo, who, by the way, happen to live full-time in a renovated school bus. In 529 episodes, I think that Shane and Emily and now Cliff and Susan might be the only married couples that I've had on the show. So listen to what they had to say as well. Cliff, let's do the gentlemanly thing and let Susan relax, drink some water, sit back while you take the hot seat. Again, especially for those who are just being introduced to y'all for the first time. Cliff, tell us about your producer credentials and experiences.
Sure. So I've been producing over 10 years. I've been in a sound engineering music production for that long, and I've worked on several projects, a bunch of different genres from rock, blues, country, some pop, some R&B and gospel even. And I've gotten the privilege to work with a bunch of very, very talented artists that have been on American Idol or The Voice and several really talented local artists here. And currently, I'm actually working on a pretty cool project called Freedom Sings Arkansas, which pairs a professional songwriter with a veteran, and the veteran tells their story and experience in the war. And it's very therapeutic for them, and it's a really cool deal. And so they get a song out of it by the end of the session. And so I'm working on the Volume 2, second album of the Freedom Freedom Sings project. So I play a bunch of different instruments, and my particular specialty would be arranging and putting together an entire arrangement for someone that doesn't particularly have a band, and they don't know what to do with the song. They just have a song and they have that idea. They might not even play guitar or piano or anything, and they come to me and I put together the whole song and arrange it, play all the instruments, and mix it and engineer it for him. So
last time we counted, he plays over 12 instruments, and
whoa,
he does. It's just a miracle. It's a miracle to me to watch him take a song that's just a vocal and a guitar, and it turns into this song that he immediately heard in his head and just turned it into this beautiful masterpiece. So really proud of him.
So the majority of our album is me playing everything and producing it, and I did have some artists come on, and I had a couple drummer friends, and we had a pianist friend come in and do some work. So, and we did have a couple that we brought over from a Nashville project, but all of the other songs that you hear, with the exception of two, our compositions and our arrangements and productions from our home studio.
Okay, so then I have to ask, circling back to captivating audiences with your piano, fiddle, and guitar performances, since you do play so many instruments, Cliff, is there ever a chance in a live show when an audience can see you playing something other than those three instruments that I just mentioned?
I do hop on the piano every once in a while, but I've also started to pick up harmonica, and so I do, that's an easy instrument to travel with. We always talk about, other instruments that we could add, but it's so much to have to carry another instrument and worry about all of that. So harmonica was easy for us to add to the show.
I'd say 80% of the time, 80% of the time he's on guitar, and then about 20% fiddle, and then we'll sprinkle in harmonica, and he'll go to keys every once in a while. But I mean, you do dobro, mandolin, banjo. Mm-hmm. I said we should bring a banjo one day. I think everybody would really dig that. So he's like, yeah, but miking a banjo is kind of weird in a live setting. So I think we should, though.
In the intro, I mentioned about the two of you opening for ZZ Top, but there is a performance highlight that I left out intentionally so I could ask you to talk about it instead of me just reading it off, and that is your appearance on the Huckabee Show. Tell the audience what I'm referring to, how that came to be, and what it consisted of.
Well, being proud Arkansans, a lot of you may know Governor Huckabee was our former governor, but he is a music lover and has a show called The Huckabee Show on TBN. It's a national television and a weekly show. And I knew him from some events here in Arkansas. In fact, I was very surprised to find out that he discovered Cliff and me on the virtual shows that we did during the pandemic. We just went to streaming, 4-hour shows every day. We were all stuck at home. And turns out he had been watching us. And I was at an event at the Little Rock Country Club. And he approached me and said, "Susan, I'm so proud of you and Cliff." And I was just blown away. I was like, "Well, I was going to come meet you. He knows who I am." And so I got his contact information. And he and I shared lots of stories about music because he's a bass player. In fact, if you see the footage of us on his television show, he actually is playing the bass on it. So he invited us. When he heard Fiddle and Keys release, he said, "I have to have you on my show." And I secretly had hoped he was going to invite us because I thought, wouldn't it be cool? But I really just wanted to send it to him and let him hear the song. But I know our family was like, "You got to have Mike hear this, because if he hears it, he's going to invite you to the show." I'm not going to, you just can't really ever plan for that. And you don't ever assume or be pushy. But I just sent it to him because he and I had emailed before. And I sent it to him the night before. The next morning, I woke up to an invitation to be on national television. So that's how that happened.
It was a really incredible experience. That whole production team was phenomenal. That studio was really beautiful. The lighting, if you watch that, it's just such a cool stage, the way they have all the lights and cameras zooming around everywhere. So it's a really cool production.
Between that performance and ZZ Top, that would be, I don't get nervous for shows because I've performed, over 200 a year for 20 years. I don't know how many thousands of shows. I don't really get nervous per se, but I did get some nerves and just anxious about doing a good job when you're at that next level and you're in a place where you're like, wow, I can't screw this up, or you can't, it's national television.
I guess I'm weird because I didn't feel it.
You're cool as a cucumber.
Especially on the national TV thing, I would have thought I would have been more nervous, but it was not as a big of an audience as you think, and they were kind of in the dark a little bit. And same with the ZZ Top. They were kind of further from you, and those bigger shows are like, easier
you know
for
why?
Me.
I was nervous because I knew Billy Gibbons was inside his trailer listening to us. I was nervous because Billy was listening, not because there's people in front of me.
I was excited because I was like, I wonder how Billy would like my tone right now.
Your guitar tone.
The Huckabee Show, was that live or was it taped?
It was both. It was live in front of a crowd. Yeah, so it was live, but then they followed up with an online version, a digital format where you can now since see both of those performances. Fiddle and Keys and then A Song for Granddad was the other song that we performed with them.
Yeah, that Song for Granddad has been a really relatable track, I guess, for a lot of people. It's got, I think, 1.2 million views on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So.
Whoa. And don't miss the amazing part of that story. Susan, like you said, you're ready to go up to him, and here he is approaching you and saying, I'm so proud of you and Cliff. And you're going, Governor, can I call you Mike? Governor, thank you. I didn't know you knew who we were.
You know, politics aside, he is just a genuinely nice man. And I can't say thank you enough to him and his support. I literally can to this day send him an email and I'll have a response within 20 minutes of him saying something back. I mean, and I'm like, I guess he's this way to everybody, but I feel so special. And it's so awesome to have his support. And he's rooting for us and says that we're great ambassadors for Arkansas and is always kind of cheering us on. You know, that kind of level of support from somebody of his caliber is just, you know, it really helps you feel good about yourself and keeps the momentum going. But I can't say enough about the fans too, because without them we wouldn't have been able to chart top 40 and do all of the things we're doing now. And it's just all so much fun. We're so excited about the next step and just, you know, motivated.
Well, and let's face it, you know, Governor Huckabee, for him to be a bass player, now you have that going for you. So it's just, sure, the recognition, but he gets it. You know, he gets the music aspect of it. So it's not, yes, he's a fan, but he also appreciates what you do on a different level than people who are quote unquote just fans.
Well, I agree with that. And he's a heck of a bass player, and his team, Trey
Corley,
who is the MD, the musical director for his show band, is multi-Grammy winning. Just all of them are so awesome. That caliber of musician to share the stage with was definitely a feather in our cap and a very memorable part of our path.
I think they had a lot of fun playing it, too. Mike said, this is the fastest song I've ever played.
Oh, that's a nice piece of trivia, though. I did not know that he's a bass player.
Yeah. So if anyone goes to our social media or wherever, you can just type in Fiddle and Keys, Cliff and Susan on YouTube, and you'll find that performance, and you'll see him playing in the background.
Another real fun fact is that day when we were getting ready for the show, about an hour or so before the show, she left her curling iron on, and I burned my elbow pretty nice, and you can see that scar in the video.
You can see the burn bump on his elbow on national TV.
So if I had phrased my questions... Susan, what do you most remember about that day? You're going to give me a performance-based answer or maybe the nervous aspect. Cliff, you're going to say my burned elbow.
Burned elbow.
That's it. I still remember it. I still got
still
the scar.
Have a mark.
I do. Heck yeah.
He does. It's right
it's
there.
It's there.
In the intro, I mentioned that the two of you have co-founded a production company that is called Big Red Dog Productions. And I personally am interested to hear more about that, the services you provide, whether that's just for yourselves, to clients, if the latter, who are you typically working with that way, all those details.
Well, first of all, everyone probably always wonders what is Big Red Dog, and they see our three little dogs, and they were like, there's no big
or
dogs or red dogs there. So everybody, growing up, I was always called Clifford the Big Red Dog, and my Instagram handle was even the Big Red Dog 91. So I guess that was the typical thing to call it. I don't know.
And as independent artists, you really have to be your own label. So I'd say that the all-encompassing term is that we are a music label for ourselves. But underneath that umbrella is production work where we produce other artists. Like he mentioned, he's doing a lot of production for other artists and projects. We also do some artist development in that vein. Kind of under our umbrella is the Entertainers Academy, which is a resource to help other artists learn how to have a full-time music career. And in today's industry, you really have to figure it out yourself and learn how to do it. And so all of that is under our production company. Really all things music. We've even produced a festival and do some marketing and promoting for other events here in Arkansas with other venues. So it really is just all things music under that production company.
Yeah, but in other words, it's not a production company in the sense of it's quote-unquote just a recording studio.
Correct. Yeah, it's quite multifaceted. And I guess, you know, I probably should get some legal advice. Like, what should we, you know, are we bigger than just using the word productions, or is it okay? I think most people know what we do when they kind of get into the social media or when they start seeing what we're doing. But for all purposes, we're a label. And I think that kind of makes probably the best sense if I had to give it one term.
And we are going to delve further into some of those other things that Susan just briefly touched on, but I want to reset. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Little Rock, Arkansas, by award-winning independent music duo Cliff and Susan. Visit their official website at cliffandsusan.live. I will put a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Their new 12-song album, just released in October, is called Fiddle and Keys. From their website, click into the store section, and along with a ton of really cool merchandise, you can order a signed copy of that new release, either on CD or on vinyl. Digitally, Fiddle and Keys is available through a long list of platforms. You will see those options on cliffandsusan.live as well. If you want to go see them live, well, they're almost always playing. This month alone, meaning April, they have 14 different shows and actually have bookings all the way through October and November, so check out the tour section of their website for dates and locations. And of course, engage with them on social media. They are pretty much everywhere: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, and even Pinterest and LinkedIn. At the start of this show every week, I always give out the email address that you can write to me at. And then I always say that you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. But the OWL app, like the bird, except with two W's and two L's, is a way that you can actually speak with me, meaning voice calls. In fact, this morning I went live on the OWL app for 2.5 hours so that people could call me then if they wanted to. By the way, Monday mornings, Eastern time, I'm typically live on there. But as I've mentioned before, if you want to talk to me or anyone else you see on there that piques your interest and I'm not live or they're not live, you just tap the request to go live button. I get notified, I go live, and then you get a notification back saying that I did so that you can then call me. When I was live on there this morning, I saw people such as a business advisor, a health detective, someone in hospitality, someone who does sales and marketing, someone whose specialty is entrepreneurship, even someone that helps with postpartum planning, and a music executive too. Get in touch with me, with those folks, and more through the OWL app. Here's how to do it. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click anywhere it says home, and then read the article I have there under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in there to get OWL for free from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, you will see my invitation code, which is a required field as you're setting it up on your phone. Get on OWL, call me for 10 minutes or longer if you want or need, and start making great new connections. Cliff and Susan, before all that, we were talking about the production company the two of you co-founded. On a similar note, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, the Yodeloo Music and Arts Festival is something I'd love to hear more about. When and why did you create that? Where is it held? When is the next one? All those details.
Well, Yodeloo Music and Arts Festival, you said it correctly. We came up with that crazy sounding name. It was just something we invented and decided that it sounded fun and country and like a festival. We launched it in the fall of 2019, before the pandemic, notably, because we ended up going virtual after the pandemic. So we won Arkansas's Best New Festival of the Year right after we launched it. We saw the need for a cool country boutique festival in the central Arkansas area and wanted to provide a platform for us and fellow artists, independent artists, to share the stage with other national touring, you know, country acts. And so it was quite the endeavor, and has been for that many years. We did go virtual during the pandemic as everyone had to get creative. And we have a monthly showcase that we help produce and feature independent artists on smaller stages each month. But we're actually pausing this year and going to move to next year in 2025. We went from the fall to the spring, and I will tell you, it was survival of the fittest, trying to stay alive with a new festival and just any kind of outdoor one-year event or one-time-a-year event right after the pandemic. And so we have moved it back to the fall, and so that'll be next year. But in all of that evolution of doing a big festival, festival like it was and is. We became really good friends with the producers and owners of the Pulaski County Fair, which is a 10-day event that will be this May. And we were kind of doing a coordinated, you know, promotion event this past year, but we decided we're going to focus on the fair in the spring. So that'll be May 17th through the 27th here in Little Rock, actually in North Little Rock on the banks of the Arkansas River. And then Oyadalu we'll put to the fall, and we're going to focus on that for next year. The reason for that is we really wanted to focus on our own music too. We needed to be, I guess, responsible with our time, knowing that the festival takes so much. And so we're really excited to continue that brand. But it's just been a really wonderful thing for us to continue to provide good country music here in Arkansas.
But so just to be clear, the next Yadalu Music and Arts Festival will be fall of 2025, correct?
Yes, sir.
So everything that you've described to this point, are the two of you truly independent, meaning no manager, no booking agent, no, the list goes on. This is all just Cliff and Susan doing, and there's still more that we're going to cover, but I'm amazed at somehow the two of you seem to have found more than 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, with the exception of one booking agent that books us on some international travel, we do all the booking ourselves and all of our social media. We do have some assistants that help us.
We did. I will say we did get to a point where we needed to scale, and I just in the past month hired a virtual assistant. So that's been super helpful with some of the online. But I never want to lose my thumb on the pulse of our messaging and commenting and all that. So just a lot of more like back-end managerial stuff has been kind of offset, and that's just only the last 30 days. And we did invest in some public relations, some PR. So we do have a couple of folks that we have, you know, contracted out to do some of it. But I will say at least 80, if not 90% of it is all us right now. And I think that is a testament to, number one, where you have to be in the music industry to make it, because you can't wait on a label to come and do that. They're waiting on you to do it yourself and be a solid small business, proof in the pudding, sell records, sell out events, and then...
And it shows them that you're a hard worker.
Yeah. So that's the true... I think that's the longevity in the music industry these days. So yeah, while it takes a lot of time and you get creative, it's really nice that there's two of us, because not everyone is a duo. And so there are two of us to offset the workload.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I'm so glad that the two of you made time to talk to me today, because you are just so, so busy. There is still more, as I mentioned, in terms of the many hats that you wear. You only briefly mentioned this before, but tell us more about what the Entertainers Academy is that the two of you co-founded.
Well, I have always wanted to share what I learn, and I say it's a pay it forward situation. There's always someone that had a hand in helping me get my start in the music industry, and I constantly learn. And they say you stand on the shoulders of giants, and if I can turn around and pay that back, it's always been in my heart to do so and help others. And so that's kind of been something I've always done. As I've learned, I've shared and helped other artists go, you know, move forward in their own careers. But when Cliff and I had Big Red Dog Productions, and we really wanted to be more methodical and wrap some business around the resources that we provide, it was a way for us to monetize but also be very focused on what it is that we can provide to other artists, not just production, not just helping you write a song, not just how do you do your show, what equipment do you need. So we have a complete ascension path in the Entertainers Academy that helps an artist with the flagship product is really helping them get that great live show, because that's the fastest and easiest way to make money in the music industry right now. So when you get that live show going and then you start doing all of the things in the roadmap, we call it, you can develop a full-time music career. So that is, it's a comprehensive way to do music full time, and it's been very successful. We have over 100 folks in our school platform, and we host a monthly 5-day challenge. We call it the Gig Amplifier Challenge. In fact, later today we will be having the day 4 of it. So yeah, it's all things what we know, and we're just teaching others what we know and how we've done it. And we've met so many incredible musicians all over the world, so we're really thankful for that we've been doing.
So what is the structure of this? Is it in person in Arkansas? Is it pre-recorded videos that you watch on demand? Is it live lessons that you're teaching over Zoom? Is it a Facebook group? What's the mechanics of it?
Sure. So if anyone goes to entertainersacademy.com, you can see that you can join. It's mostly virtual, and some of it are, you know, the modules that you will take and be able to go through those modules and learn. But we host a weekly call, so we do a live call, and then we do the live 5-day challenges for every 4 to 6 weeks. So there are lots of one-on-one time, and so we even do some one-on-one booking as far as some lessons and some consulting. But I would say 80% of it is going to be self-paced online learning on our school platform.
Wow. Wow. It sounds like a very, very hearty offering. And Susan, I want to circle back so that people can get the full picture. We heard from Cliff about his background in terms of production, but you mentioned the stages, the shows, all the years that you've been performing. Just give us a little background that way, which only shows the audience even more how qualified you are to be doing all this teaching that you just referred to, because it sounds like you have quite a resume pre-Cliff and Susan.
Yeah. Well, I've been performing professionally for 20 years. I took 10 years of classical piano lessons growing up in a small town called Magnet Cove between Hot Springs and Malvern, Arkansas. I watched my mom play that church piano player. She still is to this day. I grew up with my dad blaring CCR records and Southern rock and roll, so I got a lot of good gospel and country and rock and roll influences growing up. When I discovered Jerry Lee Lewis piano playing, that's what I wanted to do one day, but never thought that it would be a career path. I have a math degree and a physics minor from University of Central Arkansas. I graduated and worked in corporate world as a radio frequency engineer. Mm. And at that time, I was about 21 or 22. And I discovered the piano bar. Fun fact, the piano bar that I started in 2003 is the same one where I met Cliff in 2016. So Willie D's is in the Little Rock River Market District, and it's still there to this day. In fact, we'll be playing there a little bit this weekend after our show at the casino. We constantly kind of have our foot in the door there at Willie D's. But for 20 years, I really have focused on the very heavily crowd interactive, high energy, all request show, multi-genre, multi-decade. There's nothing more magical than being a dueling piano player or a piano player who leads the crowd through a fun night of music and takes requests. You interweave emceeing and comedy and just lots of fun, and that really is kind of like in my DNA and central to what I do now with Cliff. When we're doing our show, I'm playing with my foot or running around or getting people to sing along, and the performance art is really what I would say is my favorite part of the music business, just because of that connection you have with a live crowd. So that kind of gives you a background, and I've done over 200 shows a year for 20 years, so that's a lot of shows, over 7 countries, been on cruise ships, islands, Amsterdam, Norway, Spain, Germany, all over the states. I've been very blessed to have a very successful career, and being able to do what I love for a living is my definition of success. And so, yeah, that probably answers your question.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I think, am I making this up? Did I hear you say at one point that you performed in casinos as well?
Oh, yeah. I was actually lived and worked in Vegas, and I was performing on the Strip 6 nights a week in various casinos.
Whoa.
New York, Harrah's, Paris, Stratosphere. I did some one-offs, but mainly, and there's still those piano bars to this day. In fact, I am leading, I founded and am now co-organizing the Piano Ladies Conference, which is an international group of singing female entertainers. We come together every year, and this year it's in May, and we're all coming together and doing our conference, and we learn, network, and grow together. So definitely casinos are a wonderful place to see piano bars and some of the type of shows that I do.
And obviously Oaklawn Casino is our main residency right now, December through May.
So in Hot Springs, Arkansas, we have a thoroughbred racing track that has a casino and resort connected to it. Happens to be my home city where I grew up. And so we perform there for 5.5 months during racing season. And that's where you can find us until May 4 of this year.
I love it. I love it. I want to back up to all the plugs I was giving out for all your online destinations and specifically the online store, because as I looked through it, I saw handmade jewelry, as in a lot of it, not just one or two items. Plus, I also wondered where the name Rainy Ray came from for the store.
Rainy Ray was a way for me to kind of, I came up with the name where it was like rainy was like the watercolor art that you'll find on there. So it was kind of a connotation to the watercolor, nod to that. And then ray, sunshine, and then like the crystals, because we use a lot of the crystals from Arkansas. We have a lot of minerals. We're worldwide and famous for some of our minerals in Arkansas. So we use a lot of crystals, and we do copper electroforming. We currently don't have time to make much jewelry right now.
But we have a lot left.
We have a lot left from when, especially especially during the pandemic, and we got real creative. We were making masks and doing jewelry, and we made over 2,000 masks before masks could even be found online when the pandemic happened. So we just, in our entrepreneurial spirit, just, you know, pivoted and did what we had to do to survive. But I always love just any type of art form. And watercolor art, I think, is something that I probably should talk about more. Cliff always tells me I'm shy about it, but I have a knack, I guess, for watercolors. I started painting about 8 years ago for therapy, and people liked it, and I ended up selling a lot of paintings to fund my first album in Nashville before I met Cliff. So that entire store is just a compilation of art, jewelry. You'll find our merchandise on there, and don't give us an idea. We might add it on there next
time. Yeah, I had no idea that I was going to enjoy making jewelry, but I make those little spiral earrings.
He does. He came up with that design, and those are cute little earrings that we sell at our shows. We have a little situation in front of the stage. You can see a little bit of our...
A situation, she calls it.
Somebody said, y'all look like you got a little flea market down here, because we've got our T-shirts and mugs, and you've got necklaces and earrings, and then our CD, and it's fun. So,
at the time that we're recording this, the most recent post on the Cliff and Susan Instagram account is of Cliff holding a little Yorkie up to the microphone, which is no surprise given that the two of you, I understand, are dog lovers, and I think that's probably putting it mildly.
Yeah, that's
mine. I'd say so. Yeah, that is Booker. That's the first dog that we have together, and he's going to be 7 years old this year. Mm-hmm. He's a Yorkie. He's a little party Yorkie, and then we also have a little rescue Maltese and a toy poodle. The toy poodle's name is Charlie Daniels, go figure, and the Maltese is Gibson, but we call him Gibby.
We got the toy poodle second because we saw our little Yorkie on our cameras when we were gone, and we saw him having such separation anxiety, and it hurt our heart. So we were like, he needs a brother. So then we got a little toy poodle.
Which I was totally fine with.
But then I found this rescue, and he needed to be rescued. So now we have three, and I've been told I can't bring any more home, or I probably would.
I take it that one or more of them are kind of the studio mascot, or mascots plural.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they all are, probably.
Yeah, they are. In fact, I'm holding the Maltese in my lap. He's laying here asleep in my lap, which he's a lap dog, and he always has to be with me. And then the others are at our feet right now. So, yeah, we love our little family. You know, we don't know if God will bless us with children. We're kind of leaving that up in the air. But if not, we've got three little boy dogs and a great life, and we love it either way.
Well, and I have to compliment the two of you, because certainly a podcaster gets nervous when they know that the guest has dogs, because all you can think of is, oh no, there's going to be barking in the background while we're recording the interview. And had you never told me that, I would have thought that they were in a completely separate room from where you are. So compliments to the two of you that they're so well behaved.
Well, thank you. And I probably should have put them in the other room, but I do know they will calm down most of the time, unless they hear a noise, and let's just pray they don't.
So I mentioned your website, and I'll be giving out that address one more time when we close, but I wanted to ask about one of the entries on there that stands out for not being what visitors to a musical acts website typically expects to see. You already talked about the Pulaski County Fair, so we understand why that's on there now, but explain what Cyber Sue is.
That is me geeking out to artificial intelligence, and it's a blog that I share because, you know, at the time of this taping, AI is starting to infuse itself into everyday life and into every industry. And I guess it would be some of my math and physics background coming out and really getting into the tech and some of the more geeky stuff. But I have just really had my ear to the ground about what's happening with AI and where it's headed and how it's going to affect us as musicians, but just really in any industry. And when I realized I had such a passion for it, I just wanted to stay on top of it because I know at some point it will affect us. And I wanted to not be one caught off guard. And then, you know, I love to share, same reason we started the Entertainers Academy. So I just, instead of going and blasting everybody on my personal social media pages and making them think I was a crazy lady about AI, I just created a blog where I kind of write about it and allow people to go and see. And I do have like a little Cyber Sue. I just like, it was like a way for me to call, because right now I could go and clone myself, my voice, I could clone my avatar, and I could create content with AI. And that's where we're headed with a lot of brands. And so Cyber Sue was kind of my idea that's who she would be, so that people would know when they're looking at Cyber Sue versus the real me online. Cyber Sue right now is just a fun name that I used for the blog at this point, but don't put it past me to start doing some really cool creative things with AI.
Well, yeah, and I was going to ask you, especially having all the production facilities that you do have you started to use AI at all in your music creation?
I have done a couple of things. One, I do a lot of... I have it act as a marketing guru or expert and consult with me on ideas, and ChatGPT is what I typically use, and there's Gemini Plus. So some of the content creation marketing strategies, I did run some song ideas through it, and it spits out some lyrics, but number one, it feels like you're cheating, and two, it's not that great sometimes. It might get you to thinking, and I think the best use case, in my opinion right now, with a ChatGPT is, like, use it as a collaborative entity. Like, you know, collaborate with it, let it be a songwriter in the room, kind of, and I use that loosely. But right now, that's how we use it. Now, as far as in the studio and in production, I don't know that we could say.
Yeah, no, I've watched a lot on AI, and it's just not quite up to par in, like, the production realm to do anything with professionally. But
next month, it could be that it's there, so it's just on an exponential
bend. I'd say sound is a lot different than our eyes can be deceived a lot easier than our ears can to a professional quality.
I will say, though, there are songs that were released and charted with cloned voices of famous artists, and definitely it's going to push the envelope for ethics and copyrights and laws and labels and all of that. It's already started to do that, but I expect that we will be able to, with Sora and some of the latest tools that are out there with text to video, meaning typing in that you want a video and it will create very realistic video. I think that within a year's time frame, we will be able to just text in a storyboard of a music video to one of our songs, and we can even, like, have ourselves in our own music video and have, like, AI create a music video and not ever have to step foot outside of your house. I think that's where we're headed, which is exciting, but it's also a little scary for people who that is their livelihood.
Yeah, you know? I think 5 years from now, Netflix will literally just be you typing in what movie you want to watch, and it'll just create it.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. User-generated and AI. It's some pretty far out there concepts, but it's actually reality, and so that's just me trying to stay ahead of the curve, or at least ride the wave and figure out what the heck's going to happen, you know?
Well, hats off to you, though, for being on top of it to the extent that you are, you know, and for recognizing it for what it is, good or bad, because there's some people that are maybe a little too far all in with it, and there's other people that are going, what do those letters stand for? AI? So good for the two of you for being where you're at and that journey that we're all kind of participants in, but also observers of.
Right. One last thing on that. You know, it'd be like if we didn't embrace email and the internet years ago, if we said, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to send snail mail. And that's how you're going to get my information. We would be obsolete. We would be far behind our competitors if we didn't adopt the day and age of the internet. And it's that much of a paradigm shift that's coming, and the wave is here. So I encourage anyone to follow along with me or send me some notes. I love to learn every day about it.
Yeah, well said. Well said. We're going to close today with another original song from Cliff and Susan, another one from their new album, a track called Maybe You Should. Before I let the two of you go, though, share first with the audience all about this one, if you would, please.
Well, this is a song that I recorded at Larry Beard at Beard Music Group in Nashville. It was a song that I had chosen for that. It was a 3-song EP that I did right before I met Cliff. And whenever we went to compile and put our album together, we decided that we wanted, it felt like it had a place. And it's actually become one of the more popular songs. It's a love song, kind of a heartbreak love song. And it's a ballad. And I think vocally, arrangement-wise, I would liken it closely to If I Can't Make You Love Me by Bonnie Raitt. So I hope they like it, and it's definitely been one of the faves on the album.
And I don't want to give it away, because obviously I want the audience to stick around and listen to the whole thing, but maybe you should what?
Maybe you should leave. Maybe if that's how you feel, then maybe you should go ahead and leave. You know, it's about...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're in a place where that it hits you, I think it'll tug on your heart for sure.
Hmm. Well, you've built great anticipation for it, so now the audience has to stick around. But first, let me thank the two of you for your time. It was wonderful to meet you both. Congratulations on the album, and all the best for what sounds like it's going to be another busy and fun 2024.
Thank you so much for having us. Yes, we're honored to be here. Let's do it again.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to award-winning independent music duo Cliff and Susan. Do visit their official website at cliffandsusan.live. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Their new 12-song album, just released in October, is called Fiddle and Keys. Remember, from their website, click into the store section, and along with a ton of really cool merchandise, including the jewelry you heard about, you can order a signed copy of that new release, either on CD or on vinyl. Digitally, Fiddle and Keys is available through a long list of platforms. You'll see those options when you go on cliffandsusan.live as well. If you want to go see them perform, in the month of April alone, they have 14 different shows. They have bookings all the way in 2024 up to October and November, and I'm sure those will continue to be added to. So check out the tour section of their website for dates and location. And of course, engage with them on social media. This morning, I followed them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but there's even more. They're also on YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. There are links, logos, for all of their social media on cliffandsusan.live. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Cliff and Susan and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 years now without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 529. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Cliff and Susan. This is the one you just heard about. It's called Maybe You Should.
I look around this room and feel the pull of tender years before we knew enough to be afraid of all our fears. Baby, there was no corner we couldn't find a way out of, and every thought of leaving left us leaning on this love. We had it all, you know, before you started letting go. If you can walk away, if you can leave here tonight, baby, maybe you should. Baby, I just keep on seeing all that moonlight shining down, the way our love could light up this little so I keep hoping. Deny everything we felt. I guess it's Baby, maybe you should.